Talkback with Gary Null, Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Oh, a happy day.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Oh, happy day.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world. In fact, more than 55% of the people listening right now are listening outside of the United States. We're in over 170 countries, and a lot of people in the Middle East from all countries, a lot of young people. In fact, our largest single part of our audience now are people under the age of 30. When I ask them why are you listening? It's because they appreciate the social commentaries. I'm doing one per day, either my own, others, or some combination, because I feel that we're not paying attention to what is important. And I believe that we have a great desire to see authentic lives lived, not the kind of superficial, homogenized, blanderized, packaged, pre-cooked meals that we're living our life through today. Finished a new manuscript early today. Been on the road. 33 days of driving, filming. I'm wrapping it up. My principal photography, at least all of the human interest stories, are done for the film Poverty, Inc. I have a few more weeks of filming some of the scholars, sociologists, ethicists, and then it immediately goes into post-production. It'll be done in the summer. I'll be premiering three feature documentaries this summer, all in the same week. Death by Medicine, which is done, Poverty, Inc., and Greed Street. So that's what I've been up to. 15 hours of live broadcasting, except when we're in Fun Drive on other stations, then it goes up to about 30 hours per week. We have two more weeks of that to go. I will be down in Washington, D.C., doing a premiere and a lecture for those of you down there. I'll be announcing it on my afternoon show tomorrow and Tuesday. Let's go to the latest in health and healing. I'm going to share some information tonight on estrogen and why most people are not aware of this. This is from my own clinical insights plus life extension. I'm going to give you the latest on healing from the environment. I'm going to talk about why we have to pay attention to our groundwater. Because if you don't, they're going to end up fracking it. And if they frack it, out can come uranium. That's right, uranium, radioactive uranium. New information you haven't heard on that. But this hour, I have no guest except for Dr. Martin Feldman, who's going to talk about bad breath. You thought bad breath was just annoying. Oh no, it's worse than annoying. It can be serious. What could be the real underlying cause of bad breath? Dr. Feldman will talk about that. But between now and the end of the show, call in. We'll be happy to see what's on your mind. Comments, questions, insights. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Just before doing the show, I saw a few minutes of 60 Minutes. And then was in preparation. I saw the young Google executive in Egypt talking about what he saw was the reason this happened. And he said the reason that the revolution happened, or at least the first part of it, was because of the repression of the government. They didn't understand the power of social networking. And that's what unleashed that fury, mainly in young people. Fox News has it wrong. Of course, they generally get everything wrong. But they really got this wrong. Because they kept thinking this is about the brotherhood. No, it's not. This is about poverty. This is about young people graduating from college with engineering, law degrees, and not having enough work that they can buy anything more than bread for their families. This is about, for 30 years, living under a dictator where there's no middle class, rich and poor. Now, Egypt has about 20% very rich people, which means it has more rich people than the United States. How about that? We have about 6 million millionaires. According to the figures I've been given, they have more. So they have extreme wealth and extreme poverty. We do have a middle class that's going into poverty. The young man made a statement that I really, really am glad he made. Oh, when he said that, that was one of those air-punching comments. He said, when asked about Obama, and of course everybody in America are idiots when it comes to, well, did Obama, yes, he said the right thing at the right time. No, he didn't. Here's what this young man said. Obama, stay the hell out of this revolution because you watched, you abated, you provided the ammunition, the weapons, the techniques and torture, and the funding to allow us to stay prisoners in our own culture for 30 years. Now you want to act like you're for the people? Do you really think all the young, the middle class, over 40, yeah, they're not going to understand this. But hello, if you're under 30 years old, you sure do get the idea. Hold on a second. If you're really for the people of Iraq, why weren't you for us 2 months ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, when your CIA and Hillary Clinton and all the other presidents, all the presidents, Clinton especially, the suck up of money, if he's like a human money vacuum. All of these people supported tyranny in all 22 of the Arab dictatorships. And by the way, all 22 of the Arab League's countries are dictatorships. We've supported all of those. So now we're for the people? No, you'd have to be over 30 to actually get someone to believe that. Maybe over 50 people are still stupid. But under 20, they're far hipper. That's why we got a young audience, because they want to hear the truth. They're tired of the NPR nonsense. You can't get any more boring, bland, or politically correct than NPR. I don't know how anybody listens to that. And then the rest of the media. So good. Good. Good for telling the President of the United States to stay out of it because, man, you weren't there. And he said it non-politically, but boy, did that day. It's one of those yes moments. No one else in American media had the courage to say it. He did. Not on the left, not on the right. So good for him. Yeah. President Obama and your White House, at least we forget, you're the one who's been personally, you, President Obama, have been saying that your Homeland Security people and CIA have been sending people in violation of the Fourth Amendment. And who's the only person in the United States talking about getting back the Fourth Amendment? How about Ron Paul? He's the only one out there who has the courage to talk about it. The left's not talking about it, but Ron Paul does. But let's say habeas corpus still means something to people who believe in the Constitution. And where do we send these people when we want to see that they're tortured and waterboarded? Egypt. So how do you get around being a major outsourcer of torture and repression of human rights and support of dictatorships and tyranny and then commit at the last moment like somehow we're here, we'll correct everything. No, you're the architect of everything. Go away. Good. Let's just hope that the youth around the world, of course our youth haven't got that message yet. I just finished a whole commentary on this. I'm going to do it either tomorrow or the next day. It's called Dude, Where's My Life? And that's the entire youth in the United States. You'll hear what I have to say about the youth in the United States tomorrow. The majority of them, not all of them. Let's go to the health nutrition and I'll take your calls. To avoid diabetes complications, think lifestyle changes over drugs. Now, this is a new study. mainstream science is now saying, change your diet, change your exercise, change what you're putting into yourself, and that way you can prevent diabetes or overcome it. They've never said this before. It's always, see your doctor, get your drugs. Now they're saying, look at your lifestyle. This is the first time they've advocated this. This is in the current Archives of Internal Medicine. That's good news. Exercising, it really helps older women. Here's the latest on this. Older women with thinning bones who exercise regularly have sustained improvements in their balance and walking speed that may protect them from fractures and even extend their lives. So 20 minutes of power walking a day for 6 months was all it took, and you substantially reduce your risk of fracture. Now that might put people in the idea that what else might happen? Well, you're going to re-regulate your hormones, your liver's going to be healthier, you'll improve your circulation, you'll drop your pulse down, which will add years onto your life. All good. Power walk, I believe, 1 hour a day, 6 days a week. Now, I've suggested several times not to take alpha-tocopherol by itself, but rather the mixed tocopherols, and always take tocotrienols with them. Here's the latest research. University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. Gamma tocotrienols inhibits pancreatic tumors in mice. That's a very important piece of research. Now, the tocotrienols should be taken about 100 milligrams along with 800 to 1,000 milligrams of mixed tocopherol. And also, black rice. I mentioned it about 6 months ago, how it's gaining popularity as a superfood. Well, here is the latest on that, because in China it was known as the forbidden rice, because only the nobles were allowed to eat it. But today, black rice is mainly used in Asia for noodles and desserts. Most people don't eat it. Just a spoonful of black rice bran contains more health-promoting anthocyanin, antioxidants, than found in a spoonful of blueberries. It's a superfood. It really is. Diabetics can have it. It's really good for you. Just ask for black rice. Black rice. Baby boomers increase midlife suicide rates. This is not good. This is a study, quote, the findings are disturbing because they're a reversal of a long-standing trend. The suicide rate for the U.S. population overall has been declining for decades, and people aged 40 to 60 in particular have long had a moderate suicide rate. The baby boomers born between 1945 and 65 have broken that pattern, and now we're finding it's increasing above all other groups. They don't say why. They're just saying what the phenomena is. Let me share three reasons why the baby boomers are committing suicide. Reason one, enormous amounts, I'm talking about millions of individuals, are seeing their life crumble around them. I wish you could spend a day, just one day, interviewing for about 12 hours people from all walks of life in that age group. Most have had college educations, most have raised families and been responsible, and then one day their corporation's taken over. This is a guy yesterday I filmed. He worked for 26 years for a company, and then his company was taken over and he was downsized. He was out. He was given only a 3-month amount of money and out of the company. He couldn't find other work. And as a result, today he earns $7 an hour in a fast food restaurant. And that's not enough to pay his bills. So he and his wife are both working. Their son, who graduated from college, is living back home with him because he couldn't find work. So they're losing their home. Their whole world's crumbling around him. So what does he do? He takes tranquilizers. And now, for the first time, he's finding out that he has had some physically violent tendencies he's never had before. That's the side effects of the tranquilizers. Wanting to hurt other people and hurt yourself. In fact, the number one cause of death of 10 to 14-year-old boys in the United States is suicide. The ones who were given Prozac and Zoloft and Effexor for their ADD, they're killing themselves. It's a common side effect. Secondly, what happens when you spent your whole world time working towards goals, achieving those goals? Now you wake up one day and you realize you no longer have control over what you thought would be there. Friends are dying or losing their job, and yet there's no safety net for you. You get depressed. Everywhere I go, I see people are depressed, and they're not getting help. They're not getting counseling. So it's hard for them, and they haven't been conditioned what to do when failure occurs, when crisis occurs. We don't have classes in high school and college about crisis. So we stumble through it. Those are the reasons that you have a high incidence of suicide in that group. On the other hand, new information out of Ireland, it says this: the first person to reach the age of 150 is already born. Quote, leading Irish scientists believe researchers are on the brink of finding a cure for aging. The Trinity College Dublin geneticist conducting research into why organisms die at particular points in their lives. And so they believe that they have come up with some answers. Of course, I believe that we also have come up with answers. I'll be dealing with that in depth on an upcoming program. How to put at least 30 years onto your existing lifespan without any illnesses and rejuvenate your looks, your skin, your hair, your energy, your libido, your glands and organs. All that's doable just through lifestyle, but not the normal lifestyle, not the commodified, commercialized lifestyle. That's actually what's causing our premature aging. So those are issues. I'd like to hear what's on your mind now. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to come back in a moment and go to your calls. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us today. Let's say hello to Bob in West Nyack, New York. Hi, Bob. You're on the program.
Hi, Gary. Hopefully the road is treating you well these days.
It is. Everything is fine.
Great. So a couple things for you. First of all, I just really wanted to thank you for the investigative work that you did regarding Dr. Wakefield and exposing those behind him. And I'm kind of curious as to why he isn't appealing what happened to him.
All right, you've asked a lot of different issues. Let's take them one at a time. Dr. Wakefield, in my opinion, did the right thing, but not appealing, because he would have had to appeal it to the very same individuals that found him guilty. And therefore, it would have been a foregone conclusion. Instead, now he has new information and documentation that he did not have previously, that Brian Deere had the documents, and I'm the only journalist in the world that has those documents that show what he was originally charged with. In fact, the primary charges against him and the other 12 doctors was that they experimented on some young children without proper permission. Well, I have each of the consent order letters stamped and dated from the hospital and the ethics group allowing these gastroenterologists, pediatric gastroenterologists, to go in and do biopsies and cell cultures and colonoscopies on these children to determine what was causing their problems in their guts, because all of them had gut problems, including massive diarrhea. And one actually had a colonoscopy, a large part of their colon removed and was wearing a colostomy bag. Now that we have the proof that those permissions were given, and that Brian Deere knew that, then the question is, what does the law say in England when you know that you're not allowed to look at private records of patients, and yet you've done so? You have reported information from those to the public on a website, which you're not allowed to do, and you've gone to a group that has strong leanings and biases and conflict of interest supporting vaccination in general and specific vaccines, including the MMR vaccine, and those are the very people that you go to and give information, but you do not give them the one piece of information that would have prevented anyone going forward, proof that these doctors had permission before 1997. And I have those documents. And I've read them in detail over the air. Now, then you make sure that none of the patients are brought in to testify, even though they were there and requested to testify. And so all that information now has been given to Wakefield's lawyers. I would imagine that he will be filing an appeal in the very near future. So, and one of the other doctors is filing an appeal, and we have supplied that doctor with information that we believe is important. But I don't trust that committee at all, not after what we saw its associations with the pharmaceutical company. So now the larger issue is create a groundswell of popular support in England to demand that the Crown, the British government, open official inquiry, because historically, many, many times in the history of England, the courts have convicted people who they knew while they were convicting them were innocent, held that information in secret, and years later, when official inquiries were released, those people were exonerated. I have at least 16 such cases. So now the key is to show how complicit were members of Parliament, how complicit was the Downing Street, who was involved. This is a major scandal. This is the Watergate scandal of England. So that's that. Does that answer your question?
More than answers my question, Garrett. I thank you so much, and we love you.
Thank you, Bob.
Be well.
Garrett from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Garrett.
For assistance you gave me about 2 years ago when my wife was pregnant with my son and she was having terrible morning sickness. And the advice that you gave helped us. We have a healthy two-year-old boy. I do have two nutrition-related questions. One related to we have a vegan household. And I wanted to get information about ectopic dermatitis, if there may be a lack of essential fatty acids issue. And the second question is related to my grandmother, who is... it's my step-grandmother. She is, I want to say, 86 years old. She was just diagnosed with congestive heart failure, and she's also had been diabetic for about 10 years. So I wanted to get insight from you on those two particular issues. I'll hang up at you. Thank you again for all your work.
Okay, I'm going to be down in Atlanta on PBS in about a month, and you'll hear about it, and hopefully you'll tune in and watch that night. I'm premiering two new programs down there that night. Now, as far as, let's take the serious one, and that's your grandmother, because congestive heart failure is a major killer, especially when a person's older. There are a lot of natural approaches to this, and there are holistic cardiologists in the Atlanta area. So my suggestion would be to get in touch with a holistic cardiologist, and you can find those through Atlanta Naturally, which is a publication that's in all the health food stores. Then you're going to look at changing over the diet, where there's nothing in the way of this high-sodium, caffeine, acidic diet. And get your grandmother to realize the importance of the fatty acids, the omega-3 fatty acids, the alpha-linolenic acid, the LA. That's very important because it's found in it's found to help with congestive heart failure. The alpha-lipoic acid, the R fraction, the Chinese red yeast rice extract, coenzyme Q10, coenzyme A, grapeseed extract, pycnogenol, inositol hexaphosphate, IP6, L-arginine, potassium is very important, SAMe is important, TMG, DMG, B-complex, these are all important, but the superstars are acetyl-L-carnitine, carnitine, cysteine, methionine, calcium, magnesium, garlic, chromium, and glucosamine. These are the real important ones also. You've got to eliminate all colas, meat, dairy, anything that creates mucus, all alcohol, and juicing is very, very important, especially the cabbage juice for the heart and apple, celery, and cucumber juice for the heart. The antioxidants are also crucial, and you want to get down your C-reactive protein and fibrinogen and LDL levels and homocysteine levels. You want to check the thyroid and triglyceride levels. Raw onions, sweet onions are great also for this. So that's the first approach I would take. But yes, get yourself in the hands of a holistic cardiologist. Now, if you ask the cardiologist to contact me, I'll be happy to work with that person and to see that they get a holistic protocol for congestive heart failure, which I'll be happy to work with the cardiologists on, okay? All the best to you. We're going to go to Dr. Martin Feldman in a few minutes, but let's say hello to Joe. Hi, Joe from New York.
I called you about a year ago regarding a whole host of different situations I had. But the one thing that I did leave out was I never told you that I had a very severe problem with my receding gums and bone loss from my teeth. And the dentist wants to send me to a surgeon to have extensive surgery done. Well, taking your protocol, as I said, for other things, a year later, I have no bone loss, and my gums are probably better now than when I was a little kid.
Well, that's good news. I'm glad to hear that, Joe.
Oh, thank you. Me too. And also, I was on two pharmaceutical drugs a year ago, and I'm off one, and I started weaning myself off Paxil. So I want to thank you again, and I wanted everyone to know that lifestyle change, thought pattern, everything, it all adds up to better health. And I want to thank you for everything that you're doing for all of us.
Well, we're all, unless I miss something, this is the time when we are one, when we have to look at an issue and those that maintain the power that creates imbalance. So when we look together, we have strength. When we look at our problems individually, we feel overwhelmed. Just like the people. If you had one person out in that square in Egypt, nothing would have changed. But when you had 200,000, everything changed. But remember, 200,000 as a percentage of 80 million is under 1%. So just like us getting out of Vietnam, and just like us having many other major campaigns at work, an empowered minority working together for a common cause. And therein is the key. Find a cause we can work together. Right now, we have a major cause on challenging the idea that there is nothing wrong with vaccines and there's no association with vaccines and autism. Wrong. There is. That fluoride's fine. No, it's not. We're finally winning on that. Even Ralph Nader, as you'll hear tomorrow on one of my programs, agrees that what they did with fluoridation was wrong. But we have the actual scientific paper that can prove all the things that's wrong. When it comes to our Gulf War veterans, today, finally, in the New York Times, they discovered that Gulf War vets were taking a lot of psychiatric medications. It took them all this time to finally discover that. Well, how about them discovering all the homeless vets How about discovering the vets who are homeless and have Gulf War syndrome, which they have denied is real because they took the official position? So when we get enough vets together, suddenly it's a cause. When we get enough vaccine challengers together, it becomes a cause. When we get enough mothers and fathers who have seen their children damaged after getting the vaccines who are autistic, that autism becomes a cause, including its natural approach. When we can show that the gas companies are trying to put the nice spin on advertising, showing you why we have to go for gas, and Obama saying that it's the clean energy, it's a clean renewable energy, it's not. And therefore, the gas hydrofracking is now releasing uranium. And I'll tell you something that no one has let you know about, and this is from mainstream science. This is from Science Daily. I was going to bring this tonight, and I'll do it right now. Quote, scientific and political disputes over drilling Marcellus Shale for natural gas have focused primarily on the environmental effect of pumping millions of gallons of water and chemicals deep underground to blast through rocks to release the natural gas. But University of Buffalo researchers have now found that that process called hydraulic fracturing or fracking also causes uranium that is naturally trapped inside Marcellus Shale to be released, raising additional environmental concerns. And the researchers will be presenting their research at the annual Geological Society of America meeting. Marcellus Shale is a massive rock formation that stretches from New York through Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia. And, quote, Marcellus Shale naturally traps metals such as uranium and at levels higher than usually found naturally, but lower than man-made contamination levels. This is according to Professor Bank, a professor of geology at the University College. So now we're working together to tell farmers and people, don't let the gas companies rent your property, because you can contaminate groundwater for hundreds of miles, and if it gets into the major aquifer, you cannot clean an aquifer once it's contaminated. And the major aquifer supplying New York City is in that area. So once again, when you get enough people on something, you can cause it something good to happen. So now use the plural, we, for all these major efforts, and then you'll see how we and the environmental movement, the health movement, are putting pressure to make good things happen. Joe, thank you for being out there and sharing, and you're not alone. There are a lot of other people making lifestyle choices and changes that are showing them what no doctor ever said could happen, and yet now they're seeing it. All the best to you.
Thank you, Gary.
One last question. Let's say hello to Joe from North Carolina. Hi, Joe. Another Joe.
Hello. Gary?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. I know you're doing a film on poverty. I was wondering if you have ever heard of Michael Harrington?
Sure, I've heard of Michael.
He wrote a book called New American Poverty.
Yes.
And you ought to check that out. It's because I think you're doing something on New American Poverty, right?
Well, what I've done is this. In the film, I start with showing you a slow montage with, remember the banjo in Deliverance?
Yeah.
Okay? That little fella playing the banjo. Well, I start with that, showing you that kind of poverty, Appalachian poverty. Mm-hmm. Then I take it down, then I change the music, and I start showing you that old Mississippi Delta poverty. Then I show you the Louisiana Bayou poverty. And then I show you the Great Depression poverty. That's all in the first 2 minutes.
Right.
Then I go to showing you beautiful homes and kids who have master's degrees,
right,
sleeping in vans. And then I start showing you the numbers. And the numbers go from thousands to millions to tens of millions and then 200 million Americans who are now the new poor.
Yeah. If you want to see what corporate power has done to a town, take a look at Youngstown. You've been to Youngstown, Ohio?
Yes, I have.
Is that going to be in your film?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, I've been filming everywhere. I just completed 31, 32 days of filming. So we got it all.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you a question. You know, I hear, I know, actually, I know people have had bypass surgery who, I know people have AIDS, they took the cocktail, you know, and this is for like 20 years, and they seem to be doing okay. Now, what, I don't understand, I've heard bad things about it, but I see people surviving. So what does that all mean?
Well, you have to be more specific. People can take medications at lower doses than what they originally were taking them and survive. But you have to also ask yourself, what would have happened had those people taken a natural approach? Well, we have 15,000 long-term survivors who have no medications and are extremely healthy, including those who've reversed AIDS. They refuse to look at the evidence. They refuse to have discussions. They refuse to have a sit-down conversation with the almost 3,000 scientists, including Nobel Prize winners, professors of virology, molecular biology, immunology, who would just completely deconstruct all of their arguments. What they don't show you is how many people have they buried who didn't make it. Your argument is almost the same as my older brother, Howard. He was always good at saying, well, I shouldn't stop smoking. He was a four-day-a-pack smoker. You know, there are people who live to be 90 who smoke this.
Right.
He's right.
Right.
And there were 2 million who tried who died.
Yeah.
Okay? All the best to you.
Okay, thanks.
Let's go over and say hello to Dr. Martin Feldman. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Gary. We're going to talk about bad breath, which is a very common problem, actually. I see a lot of patients come in to me with bad breath. And it's not just cosmetics. It could be very, very meaningful. It's annoying, but beyond that, it can be a major issue. Some of the basic causes that are easy to diagnose would be some of the following. These are easy ones. If you have periodontal disease with severe bleeding and infection and severe periodontal, and you have bad breath, that's an easy one. That's no-brainer. That's got to clear up the periodontal. If you have thrush in the mouth, on the tongue, whiteness on your tongue, which is white thrush from yeast, that's an easy one to fix. If you have what's called dry mouth syndrome, there's not enough fluid in the mouth, the mouth, everything is dry, that's workable. Postnasal drip, allergy and infection, probably both or one of each, that could be part of it, that's easy also. Sinusitis, whereby we have mold, fungus, yeast in the sinuses, causing bad breath, again, not too hard. Esophageal reflux, where you have a coming up through the esophagus from the stomach up toward the throat, and that can give you breath. That's also easy. But here's the hard part. The hard part is this. Commonly, none of those are there. None of those that I mentioned are really there. So we have bad breath. Anyway, what's the cause? Well, very frequently, almost always, when none of those are the actual reason, the liver is not cleaning the blood. It's a sort of a suboptimal liver function whereby we've got to get the liver to behave itself and clean up the blood, clean up the mouth, clean up the odor. Some people often have, even if they have severe bad breath continuously, may also have body odor, and it's the same darn thing. The body odor is part of the liver suboptimal function. What do we do about diagnosis? Well, the diagnosis is always critical. We first do blood tests for liver enzymes. The main three liver enzymes we look at in the blood are the SGOT, also called AST, the SGPT, also called ALT, and the GGTP. These are very, very simple things for everybody just to remember. SGOT, SGPT, GGTP. There are reference ranges. For example, the SGOT in your blood might say the upper limit in the blood should be 35. If you're 35, 36, 37, 38, 40, 41, that most doctors will say, oh, it's borderline liver enzyme. Forget it's not important. It is very important. That, to have that enzyme rise to that level, even though it's borderline on the paper, is already significant. That means a lot of liver cells are dying. So that would be number one. A borderline effect on the blood test is a very good indicator you got to get the liver shaped up. Next approach would be as follows. Acupuncture by treatment in America today and throughout the world is usually a treatment whereby the meridian or other aspects of energy flow in the body are either tonified to increase the meridian or reversed to reduce the meridian, overexcited meridian. If that meridian, let's take the liver meridian goes right down the right leg. That can be assayed by an acupuncturist various ways or through electroacupuncture by Dr. Vold. Dr. Vold figured out a long time ago that we can measure the meridian energy with a meter, and we have either a balanced meridian when radiant energy could be too low or too high. So the first method of finding, the most sophisticated way of finding liver suboptimal would be to tap into that meridian electrically, whereby we're mainly interested with bad breath, an underactive meridian, or a weak, sluggish liver. It's very, very critical, and most acupuncturists can give the data, although they're usually not involved so much with just diagnosis. They're usually very interested in treatment to tonify the liver, which is fine. We've got to do beyond just that, though. We have to give the liver a sort of a rest. So the first step would be to optimize digestive function, whereby pancreatic enzymes, stomach acid, and bile have to be in excellent function so that the digestive process does not overburden the liver. Next would be we have many, many wonderful herbs for the liver, milk thistle being one, dandelion, stinging nettle, uva, ursi, burdock, and many, many others. But especially if people who are through the support group that we've been doing now for many, many, many years, the support groups which are holistic to the nines, whereby if we tune up the body and detoxify the body as a whole, that will detoxify the liver. Most of the time, that's 90% of it, the liver will get back on track. And if you have many, many examples through the support group whereby the body odor or the halitosis, the bad breath, was completely fixed by fixing the liver and getting the body to be less toxic. So it's sort of a warning that you have the bad breath. If it's continual, then it's more severe than episodic. And it should be something you should not just take lightly, but you should look into the next phase of looking into what's going on with your liver and other aspects of your body.
Thank you, Marty. That's good information, because a lot of people have bad breath, and they shouldn't. So, Dr. Martin Feldman can be found at 212-744-4413. We're coming up to the end of our program. I want to thank all of you for taking your time on this day to listen in. We have a really stellar group of guests coming, and I have a different social commentary every day this week for every hour. That's 15 shows, 15 social commentaries. And so hopefully you'll have a chance to listen to as many of those as possible. But if you don't, all the important ones we put on Progressive Radio Network archives. You can go there anytime, 24/7, download the shows. Have a nice day, everyone.